from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Thursday, December 18th, 2025. I'm Eric Thiel. Governor Josh Stein says he's optimistic that state lawmakers will take action in the new year to fully fund Medicaid. For months, Stein's administration has been asking for about $300 million to fix a funding shortfall for the healthcare program. House and Senate Republicans remain at odds over whether to tie the funding to a children's hospital project. While the governor recently reversed cuts to the Medicaid program, he told WUNC further delays could cause healthcare facilities to close.
I do think that the legislature will step up and do the right thing and fully fund Medicaid. The consequences are so grave that I just don't think they're imaginable. And I don't think they're imaginable to the members of the General Assembly either. You know, to tell providers that we're not going to pay you for services that you provided to patients, it doesn't work. And they know it doesn't work.
Legislators have a scheduled session today, but aren't planning to hold any votes. Duke Energy has proposed steep rate hikes for residential customers beginning in 2027. Zachary Turner has more on ratepayers' responses so far.
Under the proposal, residential rates for Duke Energy Carolina's customers would increase nearly 12%, and more than 14% for Duke Energy Progress customers. Shannon Benz, executive director of Sustain Charlotte, says low to moderate income households are being squeezed from both sides.
It is harder to pay the bills when all the bills keep going up and income is not going up in the same way.
Asheville resident Rachel Cohen expressed a similar sentiment during a public utility hearing Tuesday night.
This comes after a year during which Duke Energy made record profits.
Duke Energy announced $1.4 billion in profits last year, up 11% from last fall. The rate increases will need approval from state regulators. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden says U.S. Border Patrol agents could return to Charlotte in the future to conduct more immigration enforcement arrests. Julian Berger spoke with him and has more.
McFadden says federal officials have indicated to him that the operation that brought agents to the city last month may not be finished, but just paused. He says that conclusion comes from conversations he had with other immigration enforcement officials after CBP left Charlotte.
When CBP left and me talking to some federal officials, they made the comment that they're finished this year. They're finished for the year. And so when you say you're finished for the year, that means to me that you probably will be back.
McFadden speculates that agents could return in 2026. Homeland Security officials have insisted that the Border Patrol crackdown never ended, even though the agents shifted their focus to New Orleans. McFadden says he hasn't spoken directly to CBP and says the lack of communication has created fear and confusion in the community. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
A new North Carolina House of Representatives committee is trying to figure out how to ease property taxes in the state. The Select Committee on Property Tax Reduction and Reform met for the first time Wednesday. Erin Perret, a Wake County Republican, is one of its co-chairs. She says rising property taxes are forcing seniors to sell the homes they've lived in for decades.
80, 90 years old, they can't afford their property taxes in the home that they work so hard to buy and live in for 50-some years, and it's a tragedy. These property taxes have also priced new home buyers out of the market. They can't afford the rising costs of property taxes alongside their home, and these are young families.
Local governments use property taxes to pay for the services they provide, like local parks and salaries for firefighters and law enforcement. Property taxes are also impacted by the value of homes, which have soared in many places across the state over the past decade. A new survey from Elon University finds dissatisfaction with North Carolina's public schools. But as James Farrell reports, survey respondents place the bulk of the blame on factors outside the classroom.
Only 36% of the 800 survey respondents gave North Carolina's traditional public schools a grade of an A or a B. That was lower than the rate for private schools, charter schools, and homeschooling. But when asked to list the top factors for underperformance, respondents were most likely to cite a lack of funding or resources, and they generally blamed state government or local school boards, not teachers. Jason Husser is director of Elon University Poll.
They often thought that Part of the issue was maybe the state's top education and political leaders did not work well together to improve schools. 50% said that the state's top leaders did not work very well or not at all well together. So I think that I would treat this, if I was a state leader, as a sign that there's opportunities for growth, not so much one that is condemning of those leaders.
Scores went up when respondents were asked to grade the public schools in their local area, with 48% rating them an A or a B. James Farrell, WFAE News.
The new Metropolitan Public Transportation Authority that will take over Charlotte's transit system is scheduled to hold its inaugural meeting tonight. The 27 members are Mecklenburg County residents appointed by leaders from local governments, along with the state Senate president, the state Speaker of the House, and the governor. The agenda will include oaths of office, rules of order, term selection, and officer election. The meeting starts at 6 and will be streamed live. The Indian Trail Town Council has selected Adam McLam as the town's next manager. The council voted unanimously during a special meeting this week. McLam will take over at the start of the new year, following the retirement of longtime town manager Mike McLaurin. McLam has worked for the town for 20 years, most recently serving as assistant town manager. It's now been a week since Charlotte's biggest brewery was rocked by the bombshell arrest of its co-owner for alleged child sex crimes. The backlash against Sycamore Brewing has included bars, restaurants, grocery stores, and even the airport pulling their products. For the latest, Ashley Fay of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter spoke with our Marshall Terry for our segment, Bizworthy.
What's the latest at this point? And can you talk a little more about the backlash and how Sycamore is trying to mitigate it?
Yeah, so it's been a really sort of swift response. You know, starting last week, we saw grocery stores from Food Lion to Whole Foods to Publix saying, we are no longer going to be carrying Sycamore products on our grocery store shelves. From there, we've seen bars, restaurants, you know, we've seen social media videos of people pouring Sycamore beer down the drain. Others have said we are going to donate, you know, proceeds of any remaining Sycamore inventory to rape crisis centers. We're starting to hear maybe some distributors are rethinking their deals with Sycamore. This is important because the distribution network is everything for a craft brewery. I visited the tap room in Southend, which on a normal weekend, there's a lot of people there, hundreds most Saturdays, and I counted fewer than 25 people.
To be blunt, can Sycamore survive this?
I think that's a very valid question. Justin Brigham, the co-owner who was arrested last week, his wife, Sarah Taylor, has removed him as a managing member of Sycamore Brewing LLC. I spoke to some attorneys who weren't familiar with the Sycamore situation specifically, but basically they said it might be a little bit more difficult to sort of divest his interest from the business. Will Sycamore survive this? I think the next few weeks will be telling.
Okay, there's another new bank uptown, maybe one with an accent. Tell us about the new Carolinas office that opened here.
Yeah, so City National Bank, which is a subsidiary of Royal Bank of Canada, they're moving their employees into a new uptown office at Trade and Tryon. It's headquartered in Los Angeles, but it is part of the Royal Bank of Canada. They're saying this is part of a long-term growth strategy. And I think it also underscores, you know, how we have a lot of established players here in Charlotte, but there's still a lot of new kind of financial institutions that want to plant a flag here.
Over now to Carowinds, which has been slammed by the trade publication Attractions Magazine over its annual winter celebration. What's the criticism there, and what does it have to do with the problems facing Six Flags, which is Carowinds' parent company?
Someone in Attractions Magazine said, in years past, Carowinds Winterfest has been known for elaborate light displays, a parade, which is no longer happening this year. And the light displays this year are seemingly dimmer and not as elaborate. They've relocated the Christmas tree away from the main area to sort of a side area of the park. And I think what the writer was trying to get at is this might be an indication of all the financial challenges the parent company has been facing this year. It's interesting, though, and I think the writer kind of noted this, because this is one of the things that brings in people. Maybe you're trying to scale back on your spending, but you know, there's a reputational aspect to this as well. They definitely were not shy about criticizing the lack of sort of holiday cheer that maybe we see most years at Carowinds.
Let's end this week on a growing trend in Charlotte that could come in handy this time of year for those whose stress level is higher than normal. What are rage rooms, and why are they becoming more popular?
They're still growing in Charlotte. We've caught wind of one that's opening in the spring in the university area. It's exactly as it sounds. It's a room where you can go in, take a sledgehammer, take a bat, and just go to town on destroying some appliances, throwing plates at the wall, maybe even hitting on a car, which you can do at the House of Purge here in Charlotte. The long and short of it is a lot of people just need a place to kind of express their rage, maybe their grief.
Well, I hope that you don't have any rage that you need to express, Ashley, but I have to admit they do sound a little fun.
Yeah, I did try one out as part of my reporting, and I will admit there was some catharsis there.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's Ashley Fay of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter.
And for Thursday, December 18th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Teal.